Happy Easter, friends. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. May this day refresh your hearts and restore your spirits. May the risenness of Jesus resurrect the dead places in your life. May it water the parched reaches of your soul. May the good news of God's restoration movement encourage and strengthen you in ways that you know that you need and in ways that you don't. So come, friends, bring all that you are to worship today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. With that joy, let us stand and worship in song together.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye and thou earth reply, alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er, alleluia. Lo, he sets in blood no more, alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Once he died our souls to save, alleluia. Where's thy victory boasting grave? Alleluia.
Be seated, please.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all today. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. If you are watching on Facebook Live or you are joining us in person, if you are watching this later, we are so glad that you're here. And please make an effort to check in online, too. If you are here, you can still join in on Facebook Live. It does not bother me for you to have your phones out, make comments to each other, like each other. Send those hearts, whatever you have to do to greet one another. I am very thankful that you are here today. Okay, if you're watching online, now's a great time to grab some communion supplies, your bread, your wine, your juice, your water, even whatever you're going to use for a communion time a little bit later in our service. If you are gathered here, we have supplies up here, which will be shared with you later in our service after the sermon, and we'll take care of that when the time comes. I'm going to read our psalm for the morning, and then Cora is going to come up and light our Christ candle. Hopefully you on Facebook Live and on Zoom can see that. Our psalm for today comes from 118, starting in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has taught me a hard lesson, but he did not let me die. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. The gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and for giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. After Cora lights our Christ candle, let's stand again as Larry leads us in another song.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You see it.
All right, if you are in Roots or if you are in Miss Martha's elementary class, you should have a leaves bulletin that looks something like this. We have a couple of children with us in the auditorium today. Hopefully you at home, those of our younger friends, you should have a copy too. You see the psalm that I read earlier, Psalm 118, and on the back there are a couple of questions regarding the Holy Week boxes that hopefully you walked through day by day last week. There's a couple of questions there that maybe you can reflect on. Include, and there is a nice big coloring section where you can decorate and rejoice that Christ indeed has been risen. Chelsea, I'm going to leave this here for Cora. That's hers. Well, let's pray together, and then I'm going to read our text for today. Let's pray. O God, who is not dead, thank you for the joy of this day, for redeeming, for rescuing, for continuing to draw us and call us closer to you because of Jesus. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles available, we're going to be in Mark chapter 16. This is where I'm going to read from, starting in verse 1 in just a moment. You at home can get your Bibles. If you're here, you can turn there also. Mark chapter 16. It goes like this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone in front of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Much like the Christmas story, there are variances in the Easter story too. Different Gospels report different things in different places for different reasons, with different people involved, including a different number of angels who, depending on which Gospel you read, are either sitting or standing somewhere in the vicinity of Jesus' non-existent body. If the differences are endearing to you instead of confusing or off-putting, then you might have a preferred Easter version. Personally, I'm auditorily partial to Luke's telling, the walk to Emmaus specifically, and I am moved every time someone reads it aloud. John holds a special place for me too, the whole gardener in the cemetery thing that makes me smile, and Matthew's earthquaking joy appropriately shakes things up within me. But Mark, though, it's his account that surprises me the most, that challenges me the most. After all we've been through during the last 12 months, I cannot tell if I want to hear it for all it's worth, or if I wish the lectionary's roulette wheel could have pointed elsewhere. Trembling and bewildered, the text says, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And thus ends the Gospel of Mark. People were scared and no one said a thing. The end. If Mark was our only gospel that we had in our possession, I wonder if his telling of Jesus' resurrection would disappoint people, closing out as it does. I could see that being the case, disappointing people. I mean, who wants to wake up on this morning of all mornings with the words trembling and bewildered? Plus, it's just an odd conclusion to the Easter story, isn't it? It's not the tone we've grown accustomed to with shouts of acclamation that we sang about earlier, the other resurrection theme songs that we have, the lovely Easter hats that dot our auditorium on this day with pre-pandemic church buildings fuller than a random Sunday in August. This is how Mark ends. It ends in silence. Now, if you have your Bible open, you probably notice something fishy going on, don't you? You've likely got a few extra paragraphs to go in Mark before Luke's gospel begins. You might have a title in parentheses that says something like the longer ending or the shorter ending. Most scholars say that this last part was added a century or so after when Mark was originally written, since the oldest copies we have of Mark do not have that section. It's easy to see why, then, it was inserted. Scribes and editors who passed along these documents to churches were concerned with Mark's literary techniques, and so they graciously filled in the gaps on his behalf. Because you can't have a complete testimony of Jesus if you stop at verse 8. You're missing out on all the good stuff. Jesus appearing, Jesus rebuking, Jesus commissioning, Jesus telling his disciples to heal the sick, Jesus rising up into heaven, also something weird about handling snakes and drinking poison, but the other stuff, you know, resurrection. It's a much more satisfying conclusion than what we have been handed today. A few historians, though, think Mark actually did write a proper conclusion, but it got damaged or lost, or somebody accidentally took an X-Acto knife to it and chopped off the back half of chapter 16 without realizing it. Or, as a third option, maybe these 12 extra verses did belong to Mark all along, and it was rediscovered and then stitched back together, and voila, the narrative is whole again. So let the hallelujahs begin. Thankfully, we can begin chapter 16 because there is not too much in question there. We can, first of all, deal with what is there, and what is there is familiar enough. The women who were heading to the cross, they were there at his crucifixion, they were there at his burial, they're now heading to the cemetery. The two Marys and Salome are going there to freshen things up, to sweep dirt off the headstone, to lay freshly cut flowers, to anoint Jesus' body with spices and oils that they had purchased with their own money. They walk with raw determination. The past day and a half has tested them, has tried them. Images fried on their brains from the horrible events on Friday, the muteness of Saturday as they grieved through the Sabbath, the waking up in dawn's early light so they could administer the traditional final rites to their dear departed friend. Look around for a bit and notice who is not here. Where's Peter, the one who claimed he would never leave? Not here. James and John, nope. Thomas, Andrew, Philip, all no. The crowd who palm branched Jesus' way into Jerusalem, mm-mm. The Romans, the religious leaders, not here either. All of them have left the scene, either having finished their roles or finished their loyalty. The only ones left in Mark's telling of Easter are three trauma-filled women. But even they don't believe that Jesus would be alive, since they have come with a backpack full of funeral supplies. Their hope is as dead as the one they have come to anoint. The heavy door, though, concerns them, and they have no idea how to get in. Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us? But to their surprise, it's already pushed aside, and a young man is there, an angel, we can assume, and he calmly gives them a message. "Don't be afraid," he says. "I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one they nailed to the cross. He's been raised up. He's here no longer. You can see for yourself that the place is empty. Now, go on your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there, exactly as he said." And we today say, thanks be to God for that. But Mary, and Salome don't say anything. Which is strange, because up until this point, things are going quite well and as expected. We know this story. Of course the women are going to speak, and Jesus is going to show up and show his scars and eat with everyone in great joy and rise up into the clouds. If Mark really did intend to end his gospel right here, and there is a really good chance that he did, then it appears that the last of the faithful ones fall away too. The women do not do as directed. Fear has grabbed onto their hearts, even though the angel told them to not be afraid. It also means that the gospel ends abruptly with no resurrection appearance at all. Happy Easter, everybody. While a resurrection appearance may not have been written into Mark's original version, there is a resurrection announcement. Jesus is risen. He is not here. An appearance would have been nice, like how Matthew, Luke, and John described it. And it would have changed, I assume, what the three women would have done next. There would have been a sense of excitement and vindication and closure. But that's not what we have. What we have is, Jesus is not here. Go tell the disciples and Peter. What we have is an announcement and a command that brings very little closure for us, perhaps. But the lack of closure may be exactly what Peter needed, especially after his brash and bungled behavior. Because, as you know, in the span of 12 hours, Peter had gone from, "Even if I have to die for you and with you, I will never, ever disown you," to cursing out a servant girl and roaring, "I do not know this man you are talking about," a hero one minute, a goat the next. But Peter's rejections and the disciples' fleeings are not the end of God's plans for them. Go and tell the disciples, including Peter, the tomb keeper had said. The instructions given to the women lies in the assurance of forgiveness and the grace of restoration. There is a renewed calling and a fresh start for them. The disciples who ran away, the ones who spectacularly failed, are now empowered by the resurrection. So the message is clear. Jesus is not done with you. Boast of your zealousness and then backtrack a short time later, and Jesus is not done with you. Run away from God or try, and Jesus is not done with you. Cheer Hosanna at the beginning of a week and cry out, crucify him at the end of it, and Jesus is not done with you. The royal mistakes you've made in your life, all those fiascos that you've lugged around behind you for ages, Jesus is not done with you. Your quiet missteps that no one knows about but you, Jesus is not done with you. God, and faithfulness and love is not finally and forever put off by our failures. According to Mark, it's not too late. It is never too late. There is no closure here. That message is not just for the disciples and Peter. It's for Mary, Mary, and Salome as well, the three who had followed Jesus for years. Everything they had known, everything they had accepted as normal, had been thrown for a loop. They could not comprehend newness. Tombs are supposed to remain occupied. Coffins are supposed to stay locked. Dead people are supposed to stay dead. And yet, the sermon at the cemetery did not comply with all those supposed tos. You are looking for Jesus, but he is not here. And the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. As much peace and grace as the resurrected one gives, that Jesus is not done with us, that life forever with God is indeed ours, fear and trembling comes when we realize that Jesus sends us directly not into heaven, but back into the world soaked to the bone with the empire that put Jesus to death in the first place. Go, the angel had said. Certainly they are scared. Scared to find the person they saw die, scared to hope again, scared to possibly jump back into the upside-down revolution that had come to a screeching halt, scared to discover what the end of fear and death could really mean. Mark could not have known what dreads would come our way. Like violence against Asian Americans in Atlanta spas, or senselessness at Colorado grocery stores, or black men asphyxiated against Minnesota's pavements. He couldn't have known how anxious we could be simply sitting in the same room with other people because of an invisible and lethal virus. Add to external dreads our own internal griefs, like when people we love fall ill and die, or the loss of security, or the weakening of bodies, and you start to get a sense of why the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and said nothing because they were afraid. Mark did not know what would unnerve us on Easter morning. He just knew we would be. Here then, finally, is the good news. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. That's what the robed angel says. The future and the present is beyond, they are both beyond our control, beyond the women's control, and it's as unnerving as can be. But always, Easter morning tells us that Jesus goes before you. Jesus goes before you. Just like he did through the Lenten wilderness, just like he did at the cross, where he laid down his life and died for the healing of the world, he goes before you into the direct presence of God, preparing a place for us there. He goes before you back to Galilee, back to your hometowns and family units and your daily routines. He goes before you into those dark places, into those thin places, into those entombed places that we all thought was impossible to walk out of. Always the risen Jesus goes before us, and we shall see him there, just as he promised we would, wherever there is for you. Look for him. Just as we have been looking for the hidden Jesus all throughout Lent, look for the risen one, the resurrected one, who moves the kingdom story onward. Because God keeps breathing dead things back to life, which is an utterly foolish thing to believe. And yet here we are believing it, hoping it. That though wounded, we are healed. Though fearful, we can trust. Though shoved in a grave, death never has the final word. Jesus' resurrection announcement, "He is not here," is the hope of our lives. It is the hope for this church, this congregation. It is the hope for this world that God loves so very much. Thanks be to the God who lives and who saves and who ever goes before us. And together, friends, we say, "We're type." Amen. Let's stand as we sing our next song, and then we will come and celebrate the Lord's table together.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands for victory, since curse has lost grip on me, for I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
On Easter Sunday, like we do every single Sunday, we celebrate the God who lives among us and in us and for us. We eat the bread and drink from the cup with joy because we remember the love that God has for us and that sin and death do not prevail. The empire of the world, for as many Caesars as there are that keep on trying to, none of them can overcome the power of Christ's resurrection. We keep telling each other this truth here at the table, and we see it in very simple bread, in a very simple cup. This is my body, Jesus says, broken for you. This is my blood, He says, poured out as a brand new covenant for so many people. Today, we get to eat and drink together, including you at home, you watching at home. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then Chelsea and I are going to serve with our masks on, both the bread and the cup. The bread is in a sack. You can take one of those as Chelsea speaks to you, and then also take a cup. There are some that are the pre-filled from last week, if you prefer that. There are some that are in the regular plastic cups that we use. Feel free to take that as well. After we do that, we'll talk about the offering. But let me pray for both the bread and the cup, and we'll eat and drink together, please. We give you thanks, O God, for your body that was indeed broken for us, who lived among us so very well and that did not stay dead. We also give you thanks for your blood, which is poured out as a new covenant for so many people that we may come and live as you live. Thank you for these graces upon us. And we share this meal, this very simple meal together. And we look forward to the day that we fully and finally get to share it with you. Thank you for being our joy in our life this day. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen.
Distant galaxy, it awes and humbles me to be loved by a God so high. What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you every day, make everything I do a hallelujah, a hallelujah, hallelujah. When I hear the story of a God of mercy who shared humanity and suffered by our side. Of the cross they nailed you to, that could not hold you. Now you're making all things new by the power of your risen life. What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do a hallelujah, a hallelujah. What can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What can I do but praise you? Every day make everything I do a hallelujah, a hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you hear? There's a new song breaking out from the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make him known and make him famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Arise, let the church arise. Let love reach to the other side.
Glenn, in a moment, is going to come and get our offering tray. If you have something, just wave him down, and you can place it right in there. Some of you have already put it in. That's great, too. You can do that as well, but Glenn will make his way around. If you're watching online, you can continue to give online like so many of you have done. You can drop something off at the office. You can hand it to me, drop it in the mail. We'll take care of it whatever way that you give it. Thanks, as always, for giving to the work that goes on in this congregation, in this place. What a gift that is. Thank you for your contributions in that way. Let's pray. Then Glenn's going to come and take the tray, and got a couple of family matters for you. Oh God, who not only gave one time but continues to give, we give you thanks. We give you thanks indeed for giving Jesus to us, who lives and breathes among us today. So we give in a small way, the way that Jesus gave. We give of what we have, of who we are. So bless this offering in ways that you see fit. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. All right, you know by now, this is our kind of our max capacity, 25 or so at this point. If you are fully vaccinated and would like to be a part of our services, you can just let King know and we can reserve a spot for you. It is fun following so many of you on Instagram or Facebook, and you post your vaccine cards. I just received my first. I just received my second. I smile every time I see that. So thank you for doing that, and we look forward to seeing more of you here soon. We continue to ask that you reserve a spot. We have kindly asked that you do that from the beginning. Thank you, Glenn. This just lets us stay aware of who's coming and how to plan appropriately. So thank you for doing that. All right, there is no Zoom Bible class, the one that Chelsea leads today, this being Easter. So I hope that this is just a joy-filled day where you can maybe eat with some other folks if you can. You take a good nap. You prepare a feast for your family. Whatever that looks like for you, I pray it's a blessing indeed. And finally, we have some Easter lilies behind me. I purchased them in honor of you who are here and those of you who are watching on Facebook Live even at this moment. I honor and appreciate each one of you so very much. I am honored to be a minister at this church, to work and live in the space and the time that we have together. So thank you. These lilies are an honor of you. If you would like, I have 7 of them back here. If you want to take one home, you are more than welcome to do that. Okay, that's all the family matters I have. I want to invite you to stand as I read a part of Mark 16 one more time as we are sent out with a benediction. Those of you who are watching online too, you're invited to stand. Let's receive this final word together this day. Do not be alarmed, the angel said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But you, go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. May the peace and grace of God be with you this day. Amen.